This is what being single was like for me. I'm an attractive, charismatic woman, petite with a curvy figure, olive complexion, and unruly dark hair. I love people fervently, and I have a profound need to be deeply connected to them. I loathed being alone in life. Yet by the time I reached my 40th birthday in 1997, I was a true blue card-carrying member of one of the fastest-growing groups in America, the Never Marrieds. I had no problem meeting men. As a matter of fact, my favorite advice to my girlfriends was that old saying, "Men are like buses. If you miss one, another will be along in 10 minutes. In other words, don't spend too much time grieving when they disappoint you. And believe you me, I spoke from experience. When I was 19, I had a boyfriend who, responding to my nurturing and caring nature, told me that it would be a tragedy if I never had children. His words haunted me as the tick, tick, tick years passed. When in my late 30s, having just finished graduate school en route to become a psychotherapist, I sat reading Gail Sheehy's book, New Passages, which at the time had just come out. In it, she devotes a whole section to women who, like me, had postponed childbearing. She quotes a gynecologist as calling this phenomenon a mini-epidemic of deluded, about-to-be-desperately disappointed women in their mid-40s. My heart sank. I knew then that it just wasn't ever going to happen for me, and that I'd just been fooling myself. Remember, this was before the promising option of freezing your eggs, so the stakes felt incredibly high. At least once a week, as though he or she had the right to humiliate me, someone would say, "You've never been married? Why? What's wrong?" For years, I told them that it was because I hadn't met the right person. Eventually, though, I began to secretly wonder if it was because I'd never been the right person. I kept trying to figure out what was wrong with me. Here I was, counseling others on how to have great and loving relationships, then coming home to an empty apartment night after night. Why wasn't anyone proposing to me? Why wasn't anyone asking me to be the mother of his children? God, it would have been better if I were at least divorced. Then I could say that someone had wanted me, only it didn't work out. All of our suffering in life is from saying we want one thing and doing another. Debbie Ford. This was my pattern. I went for unavailable men, any type, shape, size, color, professional affiliations, or lack thereof. As long as it was an impossible love, I was in. I was a magnet for married men, engaged men, workaholic men, alcoholic men, commitment-phobic men, and gay men who wanted to explore. And because I worked with ex-cons as an art therapist for several years, I also seemed to possess an unfortunate allure for straight men who were on their way in or out of prison. All of these men found me fascinating and compelling and would go to remarkable lengths to bed me. I'd like to be able to tell you that available men found me uninteresting or unattractive or something, but truthfully, so few available men came into my life that I have no idea how they might have responded to me. Consequently, I was alone quite a bit. Sometimes I'd give in and become entangled in some drama that wasn't ever going to go anywhere, and I'd feel terrible about myself. I'd berate myself for wasting my time on impossible relationships, yet it seemed the only alternative was to be alone. And as I told you before, I loathed being alone. All too often, I found myself getting attached to a man whom I didn't respect, seduced by his desire for me. The occasional man I'd meet whom I did respect and who actually was available seemed to run like water through my fingers. He was always on his way elsewhere.